Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and I want to say Merry Christmas. I hope you had a wonderful celebration of Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and are continuing to do that, because we've got a whole octave now of days we're going to celebrate this great gift as the church year now begins with the celebration of the Incarnation. And there's just so much mystery and wonder and things to be rejoicing in and celebrating. Hopefully, the celebration that we're engaging in together now can be a time of transformation for us too, of real growth, of advancing in our faith, hope, and love, advancing in our knowledge of what God has given to us. And then we can have the confidence in God, the openness within our hearts to whatever plan or purpose God has for us. And as I mentioned a couple of days ago, using this season as a time not only to receive gifts from others and give gifts to friends and family and things and to celebrate the gift of our Lord Jesus, but then to give our lives as a gift. How do we respond to the gift? And the church in her wisdom, I'm so delighted by the wisdom of the church. I just, every year on this day, the 26th, the day after Christmas, after we're celebrating the baby in the manger, the incarnation, the beauty of the nativity scene, and all of that's expressed there, such a wonder, such a glorious, humble, beautiful, loving reality. And the next day, what does the church give us? The martyrdom of Stephen, the first martyr, the proto-martyr, Stephen. And why is that the main theme the next day for the church to focus on? Because the church wants to remind us that what we celebrated Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, the truth, the reality of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the heart of it, Jesus came as a warrior king. He's a child, but he's the young prince of the universe, you know, is what C.S. Lewis described him at one point. And he's the one who, he comes to make war. He not only comes to bring life and joy, but he comes to make war against the world, the flesh, and the devil, the satanic power that's enslaving the human race. He comes to break the chains that's on every human being, to get us on the right road, the path, the way to what? The kingdom, to salvation, to the community of God's people, to the family of God, moving from a death-directed destiny to now a destiny that we can see through faith, we possess in great trust with hope, and we live it out as we walk out the love of God that's been poured into our hearts through this grace so that we can imitate Jesus. We can be like him. That we become little Christ, we become saints. And the church reminds us, what's it all about? And literally, the martyrdom of Stephen, it's not a buzzkill in the midst of a wonderful, beautiful celebration. It's light, it's truth, it's right to the heart. How do we respond? We respond by a full yes to receiving the graces we're given in the sacraments of the church and the conversion of our lives. But what we need to continue to do is live as disciples. What we see here in the story of Stephen and the witness of his martyrdom is the truth that, number one, we're called to belong to another. My life is no longer my own. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must be my disciple. What's a disciple? A disciple's a learner, someone who learns the way of life of the master. Jesus welcomes everyone. But that welcome includes the requirement on our part to make a decision. Not that I have to perfect myself, but I have to come to terms with Jesus saying, to enter the kingdom, become my disciple is going to cost you everything. As I said, your life, my life, is no longer, doesn't belong to us anymore. As St. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. That's a confession we can all say, and we should all be alert to, and have come to terms with in our own life. Have I made that decision? I mean, I can celebrate Christmas and enjoy it and feel incredibly warm inside and and sort of grateful for it for every year of my life until I die. But the question is not just did you celebrate and enjoy Christmas, but did you become a disciple? Did you respond to the truth that was being revealed in the incarnation of Jesus and what we're celebrating as a church? Celebrating who we are because of what he's done for us. The church is the people of God, imperfect as we are, who've responded to the reality of what Jesus has accomplished. We don't just celebrate it as a warm, wonderful, moving event. This is an event that has taken hold of our lives, and we're part of this event, but we don't come to it and live it out on our own terms. That's part of the message that's coming to us today in the stoning of Stephen. And who was there that day? Paul, or at that time, Saul. He was zealous to deal with all these followers of Jesus that were abandoning the way of life that Paul thought was right as a Pharisee. They were a threat to him and to others. Stephen, the apostles following Jesus, they knew, they became disciples. Jesus said, if you want to become my disciple, you must do this. Deny yourself. 2, take up your cross. 3, and follow me. Deny self, take up your cross, and follow. So let's start with the third one. For the rest of my life, I'm a follower. I don't blaze my own trail, don't define my own reality, I don't set up my own kingdom. I'm dead. I'm dead to the old man. The old man that thinks he's in charge. My life now belongs to another. And what that means is now I follow him and I learn and he teaches me. He teaches me through his church. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? How do I imitate him? That's my goal now. The whole point of my life. Everything I have, my time, my talent, my treasure, everything now belongs to him. And as St. Paul said, from here on out, I make it my aim now to please the Lord. A lot of people in this world struggle, like, why am I here? What are the goals of my life? What's my fundamental purpose? People are trying to find happiness, fulfillment, success, all of that. For a Christian, the central, most fundamental, and decisive thing is this. Jesus is my reason for being. Jesus is my path, the path that he walked. Jesus is my truth, the truth that he reveals. He's the truth. Where he went, I'm going. And he's the one who tells me what it means to follow after him. The commandments of God, the working of the Holy Spirit in us, the teaching of the church. So we're following, we're learning his way of life. He's given us himself. He didn't just give us rules. He didn't just give us a book. He gave us himself. He said, I'm coming not only to save you from eternal slavery and death, I'm saving you from it to bring you into what belongs to me. That is my life with the Father. And I'm going to teach you what it means to be a child of God, to walk in my footsteps. So he's united himself to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, given to us in baptism, strengthened in the sacraments, strengthened in confirmation in particular and others. And he's given us his word. He's given us what we need because there's a new power working in you, and that's the Holy Spirit, to give you a new capacity to live now a new way of life. To truly celebrate Christmas is to make sure that we're living the new way of life. Imperfectly, yes, we'll fall, we'll stumble. That's why we have a priest. That's one of the reasons we have priests. We have the sacrament of reconciliation. But a fundamental decision has to be made. And what we see in Stephen, we had this, there's a long in Acts chapter, beginning all the way in chapter 7, Stephen's speech to the council. These are to the elders, to the religious leaders. He was arrested. He was doing signs and wonders and causing a ruckus just like Jesus did. People were starting to follow him and the leaders didn't like it, just like he didn't like it with Jesus. And same thing's going to happen to Peter and others, the other apostles. And as Stephen went about his ministry, it said the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And then it says, verse 8, chapter 6, and Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. That's what God's people are supposed to do. God works signs and wonders through us. We should be open to that because it reveals the presence of the kingdom, and God uses signs and wonders to confirm the preaching and the truth that's being lived by the disciples and being proclaimed by the disciples. People say, so God confirms it through signs and wonders, and he did it through Stephen. And there he experienced great resistance, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Jesus said, my spirit will be upon you. You don't need to worry about what to say. And here's what the leader said. The man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law, for we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And gazing at him, all sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Jesus said, don't worry about the day when they drag you in front of leaders and people of power. I will be with you and I'll give you the words to speak. And here's how it culminates. Got a little bit of time to be able to say that in chapter seven, a long diatribe. He gave the whole history, went through the whole history of Israel, and he picked out where leaders, they were unfaithful to God and missed the point of what God was teaching and revealing. It's worth reading the whole thing. It's quite long, but I'll move here to verse 51 in Acts 7. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. When we read that, we should ask, how about me? Am I stiff-necked? Am I going my own way? Am I insisting on my own way? Am I resisting the Holy Spirit? Do I even know who the Holy Spirit is in my life? Am I surrendering to the Holy Spirit? Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. And you received the law as delivered by angels, and you did not keep the law. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth against him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together upon him. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And this is so beautiful. Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was a faithful witness to the end. He's a martyr. He went straight to the throne room of God. Jesus fulfilled his promises, and Stephen imitated Jesus completely, and the world rejected him and killed him as they did the master himself. But Stephen won a crown of great glory. May we have the chance to follow in the footsteps at that level with Stephen. We're all called to be disciples, witnesses to Jesus to the end. God bless you. Let's say yes to that call.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.